This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. There is another stat show. We're not just doing these stat shows after a win like we were last year, which became a bit of a running joke. We are doing them now after defeats, which isn't good. We want to go back to winning games and talking about how good the Reds are, but unfortunately not at the minute. But yeah, as always, I'm joined by Mike Reid from Opta. Mike, how are you doing, lad?
Yeah, well, not recovered from Sunday yet. We'll see if we can pick up some points to try in future to try and sort of feel a bit better about that game and see where it goes. But yeah, I don't think I'm over it yet.
Yeah, it was everything we didn't want, really, weren't it? Like, it was the old cliche is that we want Liverpool to start strong, play well, score goals, don't concede goals, but it kind of just turned into the opposite, and you could quickly see, is it going to be one of them? And then, of course, during the game, they score, and then you're like, oh, I've got to come back from behind again. And you're thinking, well, I've done it so often this season, and inevitably Sky Sports always show, like, goals after 76 minutes in the last 50 minutes, and you're like, we can't do it again, can we? And, it just didn't go for us, and not being clinical in front of goal. All the usual stuff that we know and don't love about Liverpool recently, and I guess all this season, like, we've not been as clinical as we needed to be, like we spoke on the last stat show, but it was just a horrible game to watch, weren't it? It's just Liverpool just weren't there at all, really.
I think it's where Thursday, Sundays, I think that wasn't really spoken about, but they're not easy to do that Thursday night, and then it was the early Sunday game as well, so it's not that dissimilar from a Wednesday and then getting a Saturday early game, which people always talk about and say, oh, this is annoying, and it's bound to make us play a bit lethargical. It's not really. It's only an hour and a half's difference from being that. So there's not Thursday, Sunday, that's where it really hurts you, I think. And you saw that it was a slow, certainly a slow start going 1-0 down. And to be honest, I even said when I was working at the weekend, I said, I can see us going 1-0 down early here, because it's just one of those things where that's what we've been like this season. Most points from losing positions in the league this season, so you're sort of thinking, right, we've proven we can do it, so can we do it again? But yeah, there is a limit to how often you can do it. They should have done it, the amount of chances they had, but this occasion couldn't even claw a point back, which given the chances they had, is utterly ridiculous. But that's the way the cookie crumbled, unfortunately.
It does. And I mean, we could speak about the chances and Darwin Nunes, Salah, Jota, Curtis Jones. It is, again, without like simplifying like these shows to the nth degree, it is about like not conceding and scoring your chances. And Liverpool, at the minute, we give up. Like when you watch back their goal, like obviously Palace official account on Twitter posted it. And like from their point of view, it's a decent goal, like but a little decent bit of footy. But from our point of view, you're watching it going, oh my God, it's just so simple. Like quick interchange of passes and the through ball into the box and he's on his own and he slots it. And it's like you're looking at it going, how is it so easy? Like it was kind of like we were everywhere and nowhere at the same time. It seemed a little bit like, I don't know, it just didn't seem like we knew exactly how to press. And that kind of confused me a little bit because we've shown how good we are doing that this season. Obviously, we press so high and we can see chances off the back of it, but not in the way that we were doing in that game. I just thought we just looked... I think everyone's using the word like tired and like we're goosed and we're knackered and all that. But I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't know what we need to do, to be honest. Like Klopp's got a, of course, we've got a massive game on Thursday, and then the more away games start on Sunday with Premier League games again. So it needs to be, I don't know, like people are then using like, oh, will a break from Anfield help? But it's like we should be using Anfield as as the leverage to get the points better and be a better team and have better form and all that. But it seems like we're, I don't know. I can't. It's been a weird couple of weeks, hasn't it? Watching Liverpool, I think.
Liverpool's suddenly gone now. They're the third worst XG performers in the league in terms of goals compared to expected goals. There's only now, I think it's Everton and Brentford worse, and Everton are miles worse. But must be something in the water on Merseyside or something because Everton and Liverpool are that high. But so it's suddenly happened where Liverpool, top scorers in Europe, flying, capable of scoring, you know, goal after goal. And then it was almost like that Man United draw where we should have killed them off in the first half. It's just sort of set off this lack of belief that they can score goals. There is just one stat I do want to sort of myth bust, if you want to. A lot of people were saying after that game, oh, it's because the commentator said, oh, it's the 21st time Liverpool have fallen behind. That's not the Premier League. That's all comps. And everyone was going, it was 21 out of 32, but it's not. It's 16 out of 32. So it's not as bad as I saw at the stat going around going, no, you can't concede first 21 times out of 32 games. It's not that. And it's going behind in 16 out of 32 because there was somewhere we didn't concede first, but did go behind. So it's not as bad as some people were thinking. I think it's because the commentator said it, meaning all competitions, and everyone's sort of assumed he meant Premier League only. So it's not as bad as people thought. But it is still too often. And, you know, it's 26, 27 points from losing positions this season. It is too many. And I think Sky have pointed out recently it's more than any of the last 10 title winners have had to have, because normally you don't go behind that often. It's one of those things where this literally the last 7 days of results from the Man United draw, the Atalanta and the Palace, it probably couldn't have been worse for Liverpool in terms of completely knocking the confidence out of a team that was doing okay confidence-wise, I've said. So they've got to somehow pick themselves up from that now and try to, you know, recover that form in front of goal first and foremost. But as we're going to mention in a second, but it would help that if we could also keep clean sheets as well.
Yeah, massively. I think one of the best things about having I've been able to contact you is not just to bother about getting stats all the time, which I always have to apologise about. It's knowing that there can be messages in the group chat or whatever, and I'll just be like waiting for like you to enter like a wrestler with like your theme music, and you just be like, see you walking down to the ring, just be like, nah, that's shit. Need to get yourself some theme music, I reckon. That'll be hilarious. Just to myth bust all the stats. That'd be boss. I'd love that. The stat you just been mentioned there, like the conceding in our last 9 Premier League consecutively Premier League games at Anfield. You can't keep doing that, unfortunately. And that's the one that you sent me over is goes back quite a bit to the to find some parallels with nine games in a row.
Yeah, so last time Liverpool conceded nine times in a row at Anfield in the Premier League was May 1999, and Liverpool finished seventh in the Premier League that season. So we're coming up with a record there with a pretty average Liverpool team. And it's nine is the joint longest as well. There was another run in the 96-97 season where Liverpool finished fourth that season, so not as bad as seventh. But those are the runs, December 1996 and May 1999, and now in the Premier League, so from 1992-93, where Liverpool conceded nine in a row at Anfield. So if they concede in the next home game, which I think it's Spurs, isn't it, the next one at home? We've got a few away games coming up. So if they concede in that game, it's the record in the Premier League, and you'd have to be going back into sort of top flight and looking further back for the last to do 10. Somewhere of the record, I think that's something like 18 in a row when Liverpool really were bad, sort of pre-war days. But it doesn't help. I think the point we're trying to make with this is it doesn't help the strikers when you're not keeping clean sheets. Because if you look at Arsenal this season, they've kept so many clean sheets. Obviously didn't at the weekend, thankfully for us. But they've sort of got that confidence, the attack, that they know they're not going to concede many goals, so they only need one or two goals to win a game. And there's a lot less pressure on, oh, I need to score this goal when they're through on goal or when they've got a sight at goal. Whereas I think with Liverpool, it's been so often now having to come from behind, conceding and thinking, if I don't score here, we are going to lose this match. And suddenly the pressure is ramped up. And that can't help. I'm not saying that is the reason. I'm not in the minds of the players. You mentioned the players who missed chance at the weekend. You know, it was all different players as well. Diaz had one, Nunez, Salah, Jota, Jones, they all had chances, all different players. So it's obviously a team mindset. It's not an individual where, yeah, they're probably thinking, oh, we've not kept a clean sheet or we've not been keeping clean sheets. Maybe the confidence isn't there. So, yeah, I think that's the first step towards helping the team will be, can we be a bit more resilient, certainly in the early parts of matches, and not go 1-0 down? Because I think it's four of the last five at Anfield have gone 1-0 down, let alone conceded.
Yeah, it's something that, I mean, it is simple as that. Because I always think, like, without like singling Darwin Nunes, I think that one is the one that keeps like haunting me a little bit because of where he was in the box, like so close to goal. And it's fell perfectly for him. And you're like, oh, if he just...
He's hit it really sweetly in his defence.
He's hit it too well, hasn't he?
If he'd have bobbled it into the ground, it'd have spun in. It's one of them really weird ones, I think, where he has hit it really sweetly. So from a coaching perspective, they're probably thinking, well, what do we tell him to do there? Because he has hit that.
He hit it
with his laces and it's just hit the keeper. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just, yeah. And then you look at like the time left after that, we would have loads of time to get another one. And it's just, yeah, it's one of them, like it must be so hard, like for the players, like you could see how dejected they were at the end of the match. Cause it's like, we've had the chances to win this game and it's on us to fix it. And I think it needs to start at some point, whether it starts on Thursday or Sunday or whatever, as soon as possible, we need to, yeah, find that bit of magic, because like you said, and it's a point that, yeah, the defenders need to keep the clean sheets, but we can't have the attackers going through on goal now and or thinking, oh, if I don't score here, we might not get another chance for a couple of minutes, and then the pressure starts to mount, becomes a bit of an avalanche, and we might not score a goal. Not been a problem for us this year scoring goals. It's just recently, I guess, like you said, the Man United game where it just seems to have done something to us, but we've gotten more than enough quality in the squad, and whether we need to have like a little refresh on Thursday and then keep those players fresh then that don't play as much in the Atalanta game for the Fulham game on the Sunday. I don't know what we're going to do, but it's something that we need to be looking at. And I think the stat that you post on Opta Joe, I think just to keep on with the negative in inverted commas stats, like first time we've lost back-to-back home games and in a while. I mean, discounting behind closed doors games, because I think they're completely different, especially for a team like Liverpool. Like we thrive on crowd and the crowd atmosphere and stuff. That one I thought was quite telling how far that one went back, just because it kind of shows like the levels that we we just expect every home game, we just expect us to not lose games. And when it happens, especially two in a row, it's like it's so alien to us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. So the last time, if we ignore, everyone remembers the 2020-21 season, where Liverpool lost six in a row at Anfield, but there were no fans there to watch it. So if no one was there to see it, did it really happen? I think we can ignore that. So the last time actually fans were at Anfield and Liverpool lost two in a row was, we're talking seven years ago. So we're talking January 2017, Klopp's first full season in charge. And I think there was a thing at the time about how bad Klopp's record was in January. So the results then were, they were at the 3-2 defeat to Swansea in the Premier League, where Swansea went 2-0 up, and Firmino, I think, scores two to make it 2-2, and you think, right, we're coming back into the game, and then we lost it after all that effort to get back into it. Then Southampton in the League Cup semi-final, which is, I think it was the second leg, and we'd lost the first leg 1-0. We were pushing for the equaliser, basically, to take it to extra time. And ended up conceding on the counter late on, I think it was Shane Long, I seem to remember. And then they followed up with a third consecutive defeat in the FA Cup to Wolves, who at this stage were in the Championship, and lost. So they just went on this rut of a run at Anfield there, where it's three in a row. But that's time the last time crowds watched Liverpool lose two in a row at Anfield. So 7 years, it's amazing. To be honest, okay, you could say we're discarding a whole year with lockdown football, and yes, we are. But so we'll call it 6 years of playing in front of a crowd without this happening. So that's how we've sort of got used to responding to defeats. This time we didn't respond to the defeat well enough. It was an improvement from 3-0 to 1-0. You could say we created even more chances. But yeah, there now needs to be a response. And I think I know we're not previewing the Atalanta game here, but I actually think that's a great chance to, you know, it's a free hit. Nobody's expecting us to go through now. It could be a good chance to get that confidence back in front of the goal. Because imagine if Liverpool pulled it off, and I know it's so unlikely. We could try 1,000 times, it might happen once, if that. If they pulled it off, the confidence boost that would then give would possibly repair the damage that's been done in this last week. So I think that's an argument that, you know, we've got to see this as the first opportunity. Okay, we've got four away games in a row coming up in 10 days, which is tough. So whether Klopp will want to rest players, he'll know better than me who's fit enough to start how many games in this run. But imagine if they pulled it off against Atalanta. It could just repair that damage. And so hopefully there is a response, because as I say, it's not often that we lose back-to-back games at Anfield.
Yeah, massively. I think it's since the first leg, I was just like, you don't want to like completely discount the second leg, but I think it's like one of them, like if it happened away and then we come back to Anfield, maybe not on current form, you'd be thinking we've got a very good chance here of turning this around, going away there with the way they play as well, like the man-to-man marking and just like organised chaos, and we tend to have basketball matches with teams that play like that, so it's going to be hard to keep them out and to score at least three. But like you said, if we do manage to pull it off, it could be a massive boost going into, like you said, very tricky away games where we need to not just be good in front of goal but solid at the back as well, because teams will have seen the recent games, they'll have seen the Palace game, they've seen that we're maybe not full of confidence in front of goal, and that we can be got at in behind as well, which it's difficult because like when teams come to Anfield or we play them away, it's always the low block and then counter up with pace, and that's always been the methodology against Liverpool. It's just how effective we at stopping them from scoring. Have a bit of luck as well. I just remembered Alisson's save as well, which was just incredible. That just flashed in my mind.
And Roberts didn't block off the line, so we could easily have been 2-0 down at any stage. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I think even Robertson after the game said he was very honest, and you could tell he was just absolutely fuming, and rightly so. Yeah. He was saying like we could have been 2-0, 3-0 down half time, and it's a lot of disappointed people in the lads in the dressing room, etc., etc. But he was very honest and very truthful in how it's going, and it's something that I thought he was one of the standouts as well, because he's the been there and done it, and he was constantly flocking us forward trying to make attacks. So hopefully he's a big part of a reason why we get back on track. And having him back as well is in itself is a massive thing, I think, after the injury, and having him back, I think, plays into us being better, us being overall having options off the bench if we need to change him, put Gomez in there, etc. And that kind of feeds into the other thing you sent me over about the strongest 11 availability. So that's for us, City and Arsenal. And I think without making excuses, it does come into it a little bit, like how we're not having a full strength, shall we say, every week, whereas especially Arsenal do just weirdly amounts, like every week it seems to be the same 11 or 12.
Yeah, it's funny because I've been speaking to an Arsenal fan recently who says they look knackered now. So maybe they've gone too far the other way, and maybe, I don't know, that they might bounce back themselves against Bayern Munich after their defeat of the weekend. But he said they look a bit tired, particularly players like Rice, who's played so much. But yeah, what I've done is it's really hard to show because, you know, Opta don't actually keep injury stats. I don't keep them myself. I'm not tracking other teams' injuries, that's for sure. So if you actually just look at, right, what's each team's best 11? If it was a cup final tomorrow, what would they play if everyone was fit? And if you look at Liverpool's, so Alexander-Arnold, Konate, you could argue Matic, but I think Konate is sort of the one at the minute. Van Dijk, Robertson is back four. Szoboszlai, McAllister. And you could pick either Jones or Endo, but they've played a similar amount of games, so it doesn't really matter. I've gone with Jones in this example just because I do think he's had more time at the club, and so I've gone with that. And then up front, Diaz, Nunes, Salah. Again, you could argue Jota might be in there, but I've gone with Diaz because he has been a regular this season. And then Nunes has also played 30 Premier League games. For Man City, it's obviously Edison in goal, Walker, Stones, Diaz. And then it's either Ake or Gvardiol, but like some of the Liverpool examples, they both played a similar amount of games. So I've gone with Ake. It doesn't really matter. Rodri, Silva, Foden, De Bruyne, Alvarez and Haaland. I think that is, to be honest, their strongest. I know I've left out Grealish and Doku there, but those have played so many games this season. They're clearly Guardiola's go-to men. And then Arsenal's is probably the most easy because they do play such a similar team every week. But Raya in goal, White, Saliba, Gabriel, Zinchenko at left-back. Midfield, I've gone Rice, Ødegaard and I've put Jorginho in there, but I know some people would say, well, Thomas Partey might be in there or someone like that. But I think Jorginho has played enough this season to say, yeah, it's probably him. And then Havertz, Saka, Martinelli as their front three. So if you go with those 11s and say, right, how many games have all those players played, their best 11s played? The average number of starts in the Premier League that Liverpool 11's made this season is 21 out of 32. Man City's, it's 23 out of 32. And Arsenal's, it's between 25 and 26 out of 32. So Arsenal have had that, you can see there, that consistent 11. That 11 has played 25, on average, 25, 26 of 32 games. Man City's, it's 23 and Liverpool's 21. So that's where you see the damage that's been done to Liverpool in terms of we haven't had our best players available. There's certain players you can look at in the list if you're watching on video, like Mo Salah's not made 25 starts. I've put players in bold who've made 25 starts. Alisson's on 22. Alexander Arnold's only on 19 starts. Robertson 13, who's the one we just mentioned. There's so many players that Liverpool have usually been able to count on and rely on that Liverpool haven't had. And if you took those equivalents out of Man City and Arsenal, they'd have struggled just like we have to a certain extent in certain aspects. And I want to know your opinion, Mick, on sort of what stands out to you when you look at the list of players that, you know, if you look at the players that have been available and then the players that haven't, so if you look at the players involved, what stands out to you, certainly with Liverpool?
Yeah, so I think initially I was surprised Diaz was so high, to be honest. I think like because he was obviously the stuff he went through with his dad and injury problems and coming back from that and not being 100%, yeah. But I think his availability since then has been tremendous. I think his form was a little bit sketchy as he was getting back up to speed, but I think since then, I think he's been at least trying to take people on. I think Salah on the other wing has been more recently not as effective in terms of one-on-one duels and being in play, whereas Diaz, there's always two players on him. He always occupies two or three, which I think is something that, of course, helps us massively. And then, of course, like Van Dijk, you knew he was going to be near the top. McAllister. But yeah, Jones, of course, injuries as well. And again, he would be in the first 11 for me in terms of, if there's a final game of the season tomorrow, then yeah, I think he goes in. But yeah, I think especially and the fella at the bottom of the list there, Robbo, I think not having him for anywhere near the amount that you need someone of that, not just quality but experience, you can get by with the rest of the lads if everyone's 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10 every week, but to not have him for that amount of time is also difficult to carry on without him, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's when you actually put it into that context, he started 13 out of Liverpool's 32 games. We're talking about a guy who's been one of the best left backs in Europe ever since he joined Liverpool, really, sort of for the past 6-7 years. And so for him to only be on 13 starts, it's tough on top of Alexander-Arnold only being on 19, Alisson being only on 22. And then you look at the key players in Arsenal's team. Saliba's on 32 out of 32. Rice is on 31 out of 32. And Inouye came off the bench. So he's played them all. Saka's on 30 out of 32. Martin Ødegaard, 29 out of 32. All these key players have been pretty much, by and large, available for Arsenal. Man City, they've had Foden, 28. Edison, 28. Rodri, 28. Even Haaland, Walker, 25, so not quite as much as Arsenal in terms of numbers, but more than these Liverpool players we're talking about. The thing that brings down Man City's average is Stones is only on 12 and De Bruyne 9 starts this season. So they really do bring down Man City's average, because if you actually look, the players that have been at least 25 starts, Man City have 7 and we've got 3. So it's just been sort of those two players that have brought down Man City's average a bit. And to be fair, Stones and De Bruyne are two Man City's best players, and I think they are absolutely key to the way they play. So they have been a miss for them, and well, they'd probably be miles clear at the top if those two had stayed fit all season, to be honest. I think we have to hold our hands up and admit that. But that's the issue Liverpool have been fighting with, where we just haven't had our best 11 available pretty much at any stage. And they're all back now, but now it's getting match fit, and suddenly we've hit this lull of confidence. So yes, they're back, but it's not easy to get these players match fit and match sharp, and especially in must-win games. They're trying to build the fitness in games that we have to win, and that's quite a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, I think we'd weirdly got into like a funk of like, we knew he was going to play pretty much every week because of the injuries. We knew Gomez was going to be left back. We knew Bradley was going to be right back. We knew like exactly who was going to play, and then players then get rhythm, and like you said, but then when the players come back, which is a good thing, it then you have to give them rhythm, you have to get them back in, you have to change the players that have got the rhythm for the players who haven't got the rhythm. Yep. So all these little things factor into maybe why it's a weird thing to say, but having players back who are boss has not really helped us in terms of winning football matches, which I think is weird to say out loud, but I guess it maybe does come into it a little bit. But in the long run, it's of course going to help us in terms of if these games coming up. So yeah, we can leave it there, Mike. Thanks very much for jumping on, as always. Let's hope we can get back to just glorifying wins like we were last year, like getting a couple wins and just talking about how good Liverpool are in front of goal, Mo Salah scoring goals, all the usual stuff, rather than consecutive defeats and 9 Premier League games in a row conceding goals, etc. So let's hope the Reds can do it at Atalanta. If somehow, if we can do it, that, like you said, it'd be an amazing boost for us. And then Sunday's a massive one where Fulham are going to be tricky, and they're going to, I've watched the Palace game knowing these can be got at, and we need to be ready for that and try and start the game well. As simple as that is, just start the game well, because it's sort of that.
Fulham's home form is good. I think they're seventh in the home table this season, so their home form is pretty good, and they've just won away at West Ham last week. So yeah, they're doing well at the minute.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be, yeah, strap yourselves in for some away games where it's going to be tricky. It's going to be very tricky, but Liverpool, I've shown this season how good they are. We just need to try and get back to that a little bit more, which is something that we're more than capable of doing. But yeah, Mike, thanks for jumping on as always, lad. Appreciate it.
Cheers, Mick.
Nice one. Well, nice one for jumping on. Nice one, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you all next time. Ta-ra.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
Network.